Stay tuned for a message from Facebook after the show.
Good Wednesday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing.
And I'm Jake Sherman. Did we all watch the last presidential debate of 2020? Was that even a debate? Was it a boxing match? One of those preschool learning pods we keep reading about? Tuesday night's, let's call it an affair between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, was a mess of crosstalk, insults, exasperation, and jeers. Trump refused to condemn white supremacy, launched a broadside against Hunter Biden when the VP was asked about Bo, and repeatedly interrupted the proceedings, showing absolutely no deference to the moderator, Chris Wallace, or the agreed-upon format. He was wild in every way and impossible to control.
Here's how the New York Times put it. President Trump did for the Tuesday debate what he has done for the political life of the country in his 4 years. Supply as much rampaging volume, custom-busting obtrusion, and outright fiction as necessary to impose his will on the proceedings. Biden called the president a clown. He called him Donald, and also told him to shut up. Neither man had an ounce of respect for the other. Biden cleared the very low bar Trump set for him. He was cogent and not the mental mess the president has been suggesting for months. The Commission on Presidential Debates might consider some new guidelines, like penalizing a candidate for interrupting or turning off their mic when they interrupt. Perhaps a fact check here or there. Otherwise, these debates are a waste.
The truth is, most public polling suggests that voters were pretty well set before this debate. If you were looking for any clarity last night on the major public policy debate shaping America today, you would have been disappointed. Here's how it played. The New York Times went with crosstalk, lies, and mockery. Trump tramples decorum in debate with Biden. The Washington Post went with this. Trump incessantly interrupts and insults Biden as they spar an acrimonious first debate. Our colleague John Harris had this big picture look, calling it an epic moment of shame and that the debate was an embarrassment for the ages.
The Post's Stan Bowles writes that Trump set the tone for the worst presidential debate in living memory, while Ryan Lizza notes that Trump no longer seems to have a message. Joe Biden has proven to be a more elusive target for Trump than Hillary Clinton, and most important, Lizza reports, he is burdened by a record. Laura Barone Lopez notes that undecided voters called Trump unhinged and un-American, but they were unswayed by the debate. Rob Flaherty, Joe Biden's digital director, said the campaign had their best online fundraising hour of all time last night between 10 and 11 p.m. Biden will travel to Miami Monday for a town hall with NBC's Lester Holt.
Here's a little COVID clatch for you. Steven Mnuchin is expected to return to Nancy Pelosi today with a counter to her $2.2 trillion relief bill. Everything we hear out of Mnuchin's world is that the offer will be somewhere in the $1.5 trillion to $1.6 trillion neighborhood, which will leave the side roughly $700 billion to $1 trillion apart. The larger question becomes, does Pelosi see a way forward? And furthermore, is there a way to fudge the numbers enough to bring them close together on their top lines? Dems are moving without Republicans. The House Rules Committee, which sets parameters for floor debate, is meeting this morning to lay the ground for a floor vote on Pelosi's $2.2 trillion plan. She wants to give Mnuchin a chance, but she also wants to prep the caucus for floor action should negotiations go south, as many expect they will.
Here's the question. How high or low can they go? Can Pelosi accept an offer under $2 trillion? How close can Mnuchin get to that threshold? What will the Senate do? They hardly want $1 trillion. If we don't see major movement today, this is probably done for the time being, since the House is leaving this week until after the election. It's far from guaranteed a COVID bill could come together in the lame duck. And here's one thing that is lowering the pressure. Treasury announced Tuesday that it would extend loans to 7 airlines. Alaska Airlines, American Airlines, Frontier Airlines, JetBlue Airways, Hawaiian Airlines, SkyWest Airlines, and United Airlines. This comes as airlines were threatening to lay off tens of thousands of workers. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Disney is said to lay off 28,000 employees as Disneyland's reopening is unclear.
Big job move. David Urban is now EVP for North American Corporate Affairs at ByteDance. Urban, of course, is a Trump 2016 alum and a big-time Trump world insider. He's a lobbyist who represented TikTok and Oracle. Trump also named Urban to the Board of Visitors of West Point, from which he graduated in the same class as Mike Pompeo. Burgess Everett, Gabby Orr, and John Bresnahan report that Republicans are plotting out Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation blitz, while Andrew Desiderio and Marianne Levine note that in her Senate questionnaire, Barrett won't pledge to recuse herself from 2020 election cases.
And this is new. Connie Chung has produced 3 videos encouraging women and Asian voters to support Biden and urging Asians to get out the vote. And here's what's on tap for Trump's Wednesday. The president will leave the White House at 2:30 and travel to Minneapolis. He will arrive at 4:15 Central Time and travel to Shorewood, Minnesota, where he will attend a fundraiser at a private residence at 5:30. He will then depart at 6:25 and travel to Duluth, Minnesota, where he will hold a campaign rally at 8 p.m. Afterward, he will travel back to Washington, and Trump will arrive at the White House at 1 a.m. On the trail, Joe Biden and his wife, Jill Biden, will launch a train tour across Ohio and Pennsylvania. They will stop in Alliance, Ohio, Pittsburgh, and Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Biden will hold an event in New Alexandria, Pennsylvania. Jill Biden will meet with small business owners in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. The two will also make a stop in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And in the evening, they will campaign at a drive-in event in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.
In preparation for the U.S. elections, we've taken critical steps at Facebook to secure our platforms and provide transparency. We've more than tripled our safety and security teams to 35,000 people, implemented five-step ad verification, and launched a new voting information center. Learn more at how we're preparing at fb.com/about/elections. That's fb.com/about/elections.